Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with the subject of life today. On a day that snow is predicted in New Jersey, but God made the way plain for us to get here and back home. And we welcome you all. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we will start our morning prayer.
I'm reading this morning from page 139 of Divinity Course in General Collectania. Thanks to Mrs. Eddy. Love is a mighty spiritual force. Let the good you can do and the simulation of action keep your mind from dwelling on the past. For the present demands your care, and you must go forth to meet the future calm and strong. God is your refuge and a strong deliverer. He will hide you under his wings till the storms are past and the sunlight of his presence cheers and invigorates you with new strength and exaltation. Yes, he who clothes the lilies will tend you and gird you with strength in truth and love, and so establish the labor of your hands in his vineyard. Never distrust, never doubt the all love, for it never faileth. As your day, so shall your strength be. Be patient and let faith grow stronger and stronger each day of this pilgrimage. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you, Florence. Okay, Karen, our watching point.
Watch number 93. Watch lest your anticipation of future good tend to nullify your present effort. The successful in this world are not those who waste time in the present by looking forward perhaps to receiving an inheritance when some rich relative dies. One should face the fact that he will have in the future exactly what he works for now. This same proposition should be held as true in the mental realm. The metaphysician's effort is to level the valleys of regret in the past and the mountains of anticipation, so that his work is seen to lie wholly in the eternal now. Christian Science exposes the error of future anticipation, showing that time fulfills none of its promises to bring blessings. Mrs. Eddy calls time a mortal divisor and declares that we must take advantage of time, not let time take advantage of us. We should make use of it in the sense that it will be the alchemy that turns present right effort into right results. False theology is based on an exaltation of the future that belittles the present moment, teaching that man's joys lie in some future state called heaven. Believing this, mortal man resembles a donkey with a wisp of hay tied on the end of a stick in front of his nose. No matter how much he may go ahead, he can never reach the hay. Future expectation has been defined as the scourge of mortal life, and there is a danger of bringing this curse into Christian Science. It is a curse because it tricks one into placing his blessings where he cannot reach them. No man can manifest or experience heaven so long as he considers that it lies in the future. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the time to realize that tomorrow holds nothing that cannot be found in today. Let us accept as a present reality the blessings which now belong to man as the gift of God, blessings which mortal mind can only anticipate and hence never attain.
Well, that's a good one. Okay, comments.
Well, there's a lot here to work with, but it seems that mortal mind is always in the rehearsing the past with regrets and bitterness or looking forward to the future. It's being present seems to be so difficult for most people to be in the present. What are you doing at the moment? And this just really brings home the importance that that's all we have is the present. We don't have any, we don't have the past. We don't have the future. We just have now. And so what are we doing now and thinking about now? And it's, there's a lot here to work with, but I realize that that's what I was doing. And I still do it from time to time, but I catch myself now. I know that it's where it says that Christian Science exposes the error of future anticipation, because we all, you know, some people keep traveling and traveling because they're always planning on the next trip. They're not present. And anyway, I love this watch.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's a good example. These people that travel all the time, it's like they have to anticipate some great thing that they're going to do. And go from one to the next thing rather than, appreciating, being satisfied and content with what you have at this very moment. And ultimately, you never have anything more than you have at this moment. It's all here mm-hmm. because the kingdom of heaven is within you. You know, Mrs. Eddy in that Things to Handle Daily, one of the things is that, heaven is your understanding of the science, and it's here right now. We don't wait for some future time. It's right now. And Bigdal Young says, too, maybe an individual consciousness, you're never going to get more into the kingdom of heaven than you are now.
Right.
Right now, you're there. What would you have to do to get there? I mean, you have to acknowledge, be there, be present. This is why,
I love that.
More people are doing, they're writing journals, they're journaling, because if you do it, especially on a regular basis, you're acknowledging the present good that's gone on. You're acknowledging what has happened during the day. You're acknowledging what you're grateful for. Otherwise, just woof, you're on to the next day. So it's something good to think about. I'm always amazed, you know, that our founding fathers, and especially John Adams and his son, John Quincy, he kept journals every day, not just a paragraph, pages of everything he did every day. He said piles of books. Anyway, go ahead, Karen.
No, I wasn't going to say anything.
I love that part about taking advantage of time and not letting it take advantage of you, because we have work to do. And so even just a temptation to, you know, sit and watch something on your phone for half an hour or whatever. I mean, yeah, sure, it's not the worst thing, but we just have to be aware that there's serious work to be done here, and frivolous stuff doesn't really have much of a place. It kind of falls away from you.
Thank you. And no, that's very legitimate, because it's very easy to start watching things on the phone, and I mean everything's on your phone, weather reports and news and one thing after the next, and it can be very time consuming. That's why it's good to limit that time.
Yeah, kids call it doom scrolling.
Doom scrolling.
Doom scrolling. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess the devil has several different tactics to keep you from doing what you should do, doesn't it? I mean, there's all these distractions to begin with.
Now. I'm sleeping now.
But there's also fear.
Well, we'll wake up. I'll have to.
That, you know, so some people sit around planning what they're going to do. And they plan and they plan and they plan and they
never do.
And they rarely do. But, you know, and some of it is fear. But there's a lot of different reasons, and it's good to examine, you know, myself. What do I give into that enables the devil to let time use me instead of me using the time well. But it goes back to, give us this day our daily bread. Give me something to do useful today, God, and I know that you will take care of me. And if we take care of, characteristic of successful people. I mean, people who actually accomplish useful things is that they don't easily get distracted. They don't spend a whole lot of time planning. They accomplish a lot of things. And if you think of the things that Mrs. Eddy accomplished in her lifetime, founding of a church, founding of a newspaper, the healing of all these people, the teaching. I mean, she didn't waste one second of any day. And many of her followers didn't waste a second of any day.
So I said that article, improve your time.
Exactly.
Yes.
So it's possible. Go ahead.
No, that's why she said the present demands our care. And I think if we don't do that, we even forget the blessings that he's given in a particular day, thinking, oh, what's going to happen the next week? People worrying about, okay, what's going to happen the next week? Oh, it's going to snow, it's going to this. What about today? What good has God given us? And it's so easy to do, to always put future blessings, something that will happen then, but not now.
And then it doesn't happen.
Exactly. You see, mine happen.
Mm-hmm. If you worry about it, it's something that never happens. You just spend all that time.
Also, I think the past, I have a lot of personal friends and family members that just can't seem to get rid of past regrets, past bitterness, past they can't forgive. And they're carrying this with them, and it's in it. They're struggling physically because of it. And we are allowed to look back and see the good that that there is good. We've got to acknowledge the good of the past, but we are allowed and have to forgive or whatever to just move past our past. We all have a past, but we can't keep living in it because it brings it to the future, and then we struggle physically with what we cannot or believe that we can't let go of.
That's exactly right, and that's why with the past to God. And when you do that, you demand the blessing, you demand the lesson to be learned from the past, and then move forward. Mm-hmm. You'd be better. Our past, not worse.
I think the forgive, if you're forgiving, then make sure that you're attempting to forget. But I've heard people say, oh, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget that. What's the point then?
If they see that, they're usually harboring the bitterness.
Yeah.
And I've told you that that article about a virtue medicine. And the list of things, one was gratitude, honesty, charity, but one was definitely forgiveness. And if you don't exhibit the virtues of God, Karen was saying, sometimes you don't feel so well. It affects your body. If you don't catch it mentally, then the next thing you know, you've got aches and pains. You think, well, where did that come from? Well, examine your thinking. And as Mrs. Eddy says, that the thinking, the wrong thinking, the lack of forgiveness or whatever is no more true than the seeming manifestation on the body. It's all a belief of the Adam dream and mortal mind, and you can cast it all off. And one should. And in Matthew, Christ Jesus saying, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So he's telling us not to be worried about tomorrow. We've got enough to think about for today. Concentrate on right here, right now. What are you thinking? Be in the moment. It's one of the biggest lessons, I think, to learn. So,
And if you have trouble forgiving, which I have at times, and you remember that you can do nothing of yourself, it's not the human mind that we're looking to, and you ask God to help you, it is just the most amazing thing when you get that peace and release of any anger or resentment or anything that you've been supposedly feeling. It's really, it's just amazing. And it's obviously God that does it and not you yourself.
Thank you. That's very beautiful. So true. All of these things we cannot do humanly. God works in us to do. Okay. Lauren?
Yeah, I also think that, I mean, what helped me was to think that you yourself have been forgiven. Think of all the things that you've been forgiven, right? And why can't you forgive?
Yes.
That worked for me.
And that's why really the Lord's Prayer is such a complete treatment. It covers everything, really. Forgiveness, yes, daily bread, all of it. Enable us to know that God's all power.
Lead us not into temptation.
Yes, lead us not into temptation. One thing after the next, forgive us our debts as we would be forgiven. So, and if we truly pray that with our whole heart and mind and soul, and Mrs. Eddy says, spend a half an hour with the Lord's Prayer every morning, that's very cleansing if any of those things are growing in your thought. So, also, I would like to mention, we talked about last week or the week before the movie, The King's Speech. And perhaps that the one who helped the king overcome his stammering was, in fact, a Christian Scientist. Wendy sent me an article about it. It's a beautiful article. And yes, he was a Christian Scientist, and he did use his science. And he loved doing it, and he had no official credentials. In other words, you know, he didn't go to some school to learn how to do this. God was the one, God was the healer. And he said his name was Lionel Logue, and the king was King George VI. Anyway, he said, I'm trying to get you to realize that you can't be governed by fear. And in working with people with speech problems, that was his main goal, to have them overcome the fear. And in doing that, he brought about healing.
And we know what overcomes fear, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Love.
Yeah.
Yep. John, of course.
Yes.
Perfect love.
Perfect.
Not human love, but perfect love.
What was that article? Can you tell us what the article was?
The King's Speech, Lionel Logue, and the Christian Science Question.
It'll be on the Google page.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Not sure where she found
it. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
But yeah. Silence the truth that he was a Christian Scientist. That's a shame.
That's true.
Get used to it.
they kept it in the article. They said they didn't even think Colin Frith, who plays the king, that he knew this. It is a shame. Mm-hmm. So we'll get it out there. All of these things that they are suppressing or hiding.
Yeah, I knew he was a Christian Scientist, but I don't know how I knew it. It wasn't announced in the movie. I saw the movie.
No.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, the rumors that Christian Scientists hear.
Yes.
And so now it's a wonderful lesson this week on life, over and over, that God is your life. And this is why we start our day knowing this. You know, it's so important that when you read your textbook or read the Bible or read anything, that you understand you are reading the truth. I'm not sure many people do. You kind of know, maybe it sounds good, but do you really know? This is the truth. It's a fact. It's a law. Mrs. Eddy wrote the textbook because God gave it directly to her. As we've talked about, she was a scribe under orders. So if you don't believe it, you need to. I do believe in many instances, this is why people aren't healed, especially especially Christian Scientists who just have taken it here and there and here and there and here and there, and they don't really go, cowabunga, you know, this is amazing. This is the truth. In the lesson this week, I love it because it is a sin to believe that aught can overpower omnipotent and eternal life. It's a sin to do this. And then who dares to doubt this consummate test of the power and willingness of divine mind to hold man forever intact? That's referring to the raising of Lazarus. Who dares to doubt it? And then, is it not a species of infidelity to believe that so great a work as the Messiah was done for himself or for God who needed no help? It's in the lesson over and over. Come on, people, wake up. You're sinning if you don't believe this or if you're doubting it. And these are big topics. God is your life. It's a big topic, isn't it? Yes. And also that there is no... So there is an article on our website, and it's about sight, but you can use it for many other things that I love. It's called Sight by A.O. Prober. Some of you are familiar with it. And it was written by a Christian Science practitioner to a patient born totally blind. It brought complete healing to the patient. Now, I'll read some of it. My dear, I want you to see what must take place in your consciousness. With the utmost clarity, you must see that material eyes do not need healing, for matter does not see, and nothing we say or do about it can ever give it that which it never had, namely sight. What must be cast out is the lie about the truth, namely that sight is material and not spiritual. You may rejoice that you have come to the point in your journey from sense to soul where divine love is forcing you to lay on what Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health. Metaphysics resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the object of sense for the ideas of soul. So, and then it goes on, all that needs to be done is to replace the false sense of sight with the true God-given one. The cause of all loss and suffering is not because matter is diseased, but because of the breaking of the commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, spirit. Keep the first commandment separate from matter. Restore it to mind where it belongs, and all fear and suffering depart. And so, you see, when you're having some physical problem, that is divine love forcing you to get out of this belief that you live in matter, that your body is dependent on physical organ or whatever else it's trying to tell you. You've got all of us. We have to sooner or later. We've got to come to this sooner or later. We do not live in matter. We are not dependent on our organs for life. We are dependent on God. And how dare you think otherwise? How dare you question it? The lesson says impossibilities never occur. Yeah. Lazarus was raised from the dead. That means it's not impossible. But if you know that beautiful statement in Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe in him? How many times did Jesus say, as your belief, so it be according to you, or something like that? Mm-hmm. If you have no faith in this, if you're just one of these Christian Scientists that just read it, maybe you haven't had much success in healing. Well, let's change that now today and let's get your faith going. And know this, all these things, that's why they're so precious to all of humanity. The Bible, these truths are so precious because they're true. They came to deliver you from the depths. But if you don't believe it, then it has a hard time getting to you.
It's quite impressive, Mrs. Eddy, when she says in page 151 of Science and Health that the blood, heart, lungs, brain, etc., have nothing to do with life, God.
Thank you. I just had that page turned to 151. Oh. Okay. Absolutely.
Great minds think alike, don't they? The one great mind directs.
And I love that statement. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with life or God. Every function of the real man is governed by the divine mind. The human mind has no power to kill or to cure, and it has no control over God's man. The human mind. So what power do you give the human mind to kill or to cure? Let's strip it of any so-called power. It has none. If you think someone harmed you and you're suffering because of that, if you think that some material means cured you and you're better for that, no, it's God. That song they sing, God and God alone. And then the divine mind that made man maintains his own image and likeness. Maintain. To hold, to preserve, or keep in any state or condition. To support, to sustain, not to suffer, to fail, or decline. To maintain the digestive process, not to suffer, to cease. To support the expense of, to export the expense of. To support with food and clothing and other conveniences, to support by intellectual powers, to defend, to vindicate. There's not much that maintain does not do, okay? And this, okay, so this right here, this statement from Science and Health that God maintains your being. That's it, guys. That's a fact. That's a law. That's the truth. There is nothing else. Are you accepting it, or are these just you just read this over and oh, that's lovely, and now I now throw up or something? Seriously, and live it. So it's preventative as well as curative. You don't have to get to some point where you're feeling so lousy. Let it be working all the time in you, and know it's the truth. So I love that. I love that article on site. It's one of my favorites. And I love the fact that, yes, you are being forced now. You're being forced, if you're having some problem, to rise up higher. You can either rise up higher or you can sink with it. And you'll sink with it if these are just words. So let's all rise up higher.
I wanted to say that that thought that this is the truth and we should read it that way. When early on, when I started learning about computers, there was a time in the beginning where I was like, oh, computers are so cool. And then like somewhere in there, I realized like, oh, I'm supposed to be using this to do something. It's not, it is not
a form of entertainment.
It's not enough to act like it's just cool.
Yes. Thank you. Absolutely. So, and this is true too, that, and this is what happens, you know, Science and Health. Wow, this sounds really great. It's really cool, but I can't prove it. You don't even say that. Don't say you can't prove it. What kind of talk is that? You're just negating everything.
You're separating yourself from God.
You are.
Yeah.
All these little thoughts. Something, I can't, too hard for me. Go ahead.
Sorry. Something my mom once told me, life is living you. And that kind of takes the personal out of it and makes you realize who you are.
Thank you. Absolutely. And I know Florence emphasizes this too, knowing who you are. Because many of you start out, you've had no concept of who you are. And so you let error just batter you. You've got to switch that around and know who you are is God's image and likeness, your oneness with God. You've got to declare it. You've got to act like it. And then you'll be it. And then you can claim all these truths for yourself. In this article that Carrie sent that I, it's called Classification and Limitation. This goes along with the golden text and what we were talking about too. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you, asked Paul, that God should raise the dead? Here again, why do you think that's incredible? Why should it be thought that God is capable of creating man and yet is incapable of taking care of him? Duh. I mean, come on. I mean, when you really think about this stuff, it is readily acknowledged that the carpenter who builds a house can repair it, that the mechanic who constructs an engine can replace the worn or missing parts. And yet, so perverse is mortal reasoning that it denies to God the sustaining power which it arrogates to itself. Why do we do that? Yeah, someone who builds a house, they know how to take care of it. They know what's wrong, how to fix it. But God, well, he didn't, what does he know? He doesn't know anything about my body. Yeah, right. He made you. Remember that. He knows everything about you, everything, about every part of you. And then again, he maintains you. So go to him first. He's the great physician. He knows anything you need to know. He knows.
And better than that, don't ever let yourself get separated from him in your belief. Really? Remember, you're his image and his likeness. You're the manifestation of the creator of the whole universe and everything that's in it.
It's like the reflection goes away from the principle. How impossible that is. You are the reflection of God, so always, at all times.
And you just have to, this is why we do what we do. This is why we're always doing the round tables, always to remind you, always the Wednesday nights to get up, remind yourself how God has healed you, all the good that's gone on in your life, how he has helped you over and over, reminding yourself, knowing this is true, reading the Bible, reading Science and Health, and not listening to mortal mind because it's a bully. So
level those valleys of regret, like the daily watch.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. And that's why, yes, watching your thought, not thinking that your healing is somewhere in the distance and someday you'll get there, because then you'll never get there. Or, if that's what you think.
Or thinking that your healing has to be brought about by something outside of yourself. God is your consciousness. And that's where the healing is. This is powerful stuff. But it requires the disciplined thought and a spiritualized thought.
Yes. And, you know, if you need a boost or whatever from a material means, and that's okay. Get your boost. Do what you need to do. That's all right. God works everywhere. He's all in all. You'll find him everywhere. But don't go with a negative attitude that you hate doctors and they never do any good. I mean, what kind of thought is that?
Fear
of them. Many people, you know, I've had people come to me just because they don't want to pay doctor bills or because they're afraid of doctors. That's no real reason
at all.
What?
That's no real reason at all. There's God in it.
There's no God in it. Mm-mm. So you come on your knees because your main concern is to learn more about him. And as you do, the arrow will fall away, as it always does, because it's not true. It's not true right now. You don't have to wait for some future event. It's not true right now. These are laws. And another beautiful article Carrie sent about Lazarus, the way Christ healed Lazarus is because he knew there was no law. We sing it sometimes in church. There is no law of sin and death, right? There is no law of sin and death. I love that song. There's no law. That's a human law.
Human belief.
Yeah, human belief. Yeah.
They call itself a law.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fraud.
The real law is
God's honest
life. So
I am all.
I am all.
Yes. And there was something beautiful. I thought this was something again. Carrie sent that. It's what Mrs. Eddy sent to Mrs. McKinley when her husband passed. God is love, and not a trace of that love which has been and continues to be reflected by man can possibly be lost. After President McKinley had passed beyond human ken, Mrs. Eddy wrote to Mrs. McKinley, quote, "He awaits to welcome you, where no arrow wounds the eagle's soaring, where no partings are for love, where the high and holy call you again to meet. I know thou hearest me always," are the words of him who suffered and subdued sorrow. Hold this attitude of mind, and it will remove the sackcloth from my home. The Miscellany, page 290. It's very beautiful and comforting to the human need, which is great. And then this goes on the article by Duncan Sinclair. If as a nation or as individuals, we lament the loss of someone we have respected and loved, it is well to remember that life is eternal and that man is the manifestation of life, can never cease to reflect life's activities. So we know we're all not going to necessarily be on this earth in this form forever, but that doesn't mean that life is not eternal and that we come under the law of life, with a capital L and two capital L's, and that we are Christian Scientists, be a law unto yourself, that mental malpractice cannot harm you either when asleep or when awake. And the human law is that you're going to get sick, old, decrepit, and die. Which brings me to, well, before I get into that, I'm just going to mention, I can't read it today, but on the bottom numbering, I know Tony has talked a lot about the Eustace book, Christian Science, It's Clear, Correct Teaching. It's a wonderful book. And he goes in, he was excommunicated. So he goes into all of that, why, how he surmounted it, continued his teaching and healing work. And on the bottom numbering, he writes on pages 87, 874 and 875, an article, "There is no law of death." And it's excellent. It's only a couple pages, but he says, "Does hypnotism say that you feel that you are getting old? Years mean experience, and experience is always valuable and life-giving, never destructive." So it banishes that belief that you're going to get old and die, which brings me to another article, which I know I've talked about before, but it is so important. And this article was found in the New York Herald Tribune, 1948, very small article. And I found it in a box of Herbert Eustace's personal items. And I can't believe it's such a small article, and it's so profound. And anyway, he obviously found it and kept it in his collection of things. But anyway, I don't know where the box is or where it was, but Carrie was able to find it for me in another Kentucky newspaper. So anyway, I'm going to read it because it's worth reading. Let me quote from one of the addresses. I didn't originate it. I don't know who did, but it was the main topic of a recent conference of physicians and surgeons in Cincinnati. According to those doctors, one of the principal complaints of their patients is, doctor, I'm getting old. Then they blame almost everything that happens to them on approaching old age. They think there is nothing they can do about it. They think arthritis, heart trouble, cancer, in fact, almost everything is due to time. Nonsense, say the doctors. Time has nothing to do with it. Let me quote from one of the addresses made from the conference by a prominent specialist. Every human tissue is endowed by potential immortality when adequately provided with the food factors, oxygen, and suitable warmth, and when removal of waste is carefully effected. Time has no effect on human tissues maintained under such conditions, or indeed on human tissues under any conditions. Vigor does not necessarily vary inversely with the age of the adult. It varies directly with the factors of healthful living, mental condition, and medical and surgical treatment. The doctors agreed that belief in the effects of time tends to reduce ambition, therefore expectations and endeavors aren't curtailed. All those who develop a time neurosis subscribe to the prevalent superstition that time is in some way a poison exerting a mysterious cumulative action. The report goes on to say that where there is such a time neurosis, confidence and hope are diminished. Continual worry decreases efficiency and increases nervousness and irritability. And by golly, those doctors are right. I just had an awful pain in my neck, sharp pain, rheumatism, old age. I investigated. Do you know what it was? Pin in the laundry. Okay. Anyway, it's a wonderful article. And I wrote an article, which is also on the website about it. Time is not toxic. And it refers to this. Yes, every human tissue is endowed with potential immortality. Well, why not? Again, God created us, and that is a prevalent superstition that time in some ways poisons the system and causes one to grow old. And so what does Mrs. Eddy say about that in Science and Health, page 245? Decrepitude is not according to law, nor is it a necessity of nature, but an illusion. So, you know, when we say I'm getting old, please don't say that. And that's why I can't do this, that, and another thing. Again, you were talking against yourself.
Uh-huh.
You were making up your mortal laws with a lowercase capital, and you seem to suffer from your thoughts. Watch what you think. Know that, again, this quote that I love has been in our calendar from Mary Baker Eddy. Instead of being bound for the grave, we must know we are on the eternal road of life that has no sense of death. Follow the yellow brick road. Don't let it tell you it's such a horrible picture when you think of it. And you know, avoid people that think that way. Frankly, if they're not going to think higher and holier thoughts, you can't spend time with all that negativity. Time is not toxic. We do it to ourselves.
Yep, and one of the Asian countries, I don't know what it was, but the older you got, the stronger, the faster, the more energetic, and you got. It proved that it had nothing to do with age.
Thank you. Yeah, and we've all read those stories, you know, people who are well advanced in age and are doing just fine because their thought is so happy, uplifted. They take the virtue medicine and live it. The potions, as Gary read on Wednesday.
Potions. Yeah, that's potions.
That's potions.
God's character.
His own qualities.
Yes. Yes. Take a little taste of that every morning.
That's right. Don't declare against your high estate. That's what God has made.
Yes.
You know, a lot of reporters during the day of Mrs. Eddy wanted to come see her, and they would literally just show up at the door to try to get a glimpse of her or see her in her carriage. And when they would see, finally, you know, meet her, they were stunned at how beautiful she was. And she never looked, quote unquote, her age, ever. If you really read about her, you know, she completely demonstrated this concept. So it's obviously possible for us too.
Absolutely. And what they said, that, yeah, that medical examiner said she had the body of a young woman or something, right?
Skin, it was her skin.
Skin.
Mm-hmm. 17-year-old.
17-year-old, okay. Well, but that's because
I think
she lived.
The only thing that gave her away, I guess, you know, was the gray hair. And oftentimes men would try to give her their arm to help her. And she would push their arm away. Like, why do I need that? So she was adamant, you know, in this. And, you know, because she would walk down, I guess there was like a beautiful staircase, and she would kind of spiral down, you know, the stairs. And they, you know, were kind of watching to see, you know, how she'd handle the stairs. And it was like no problem at all. So you just have to kind of catch yourself too, you know, don't let the subtle little things come in. And as we've been saying, you know, you have to kind of stand porter at the door of thought all the time about this age.
Thank you. Yeah, uh-huh. And we, again, we were taught here at an early on to say often, daily, I am ageless, diseaseless, and deathless because God made me so. And then think about what that means. And Mrs. Evans used to say, you can be old at age 20, and you can be young at age 90 plus. So you stay with it. Keep at it. It is one of those creeping things that will try to creep up on you. And you must be aware of it and handle it every day. You know, every time, if you ever read any article or even on the news, so-and-so age, so-and-so, right? They always give the age. So that categorizes people. So no.
Now, like Genesis, the real creeping things God made, and they're good.
Uh-huh.
God made all things, even the creeping things.
Thank you. Beautiful. That's the right sense of it. Thank you, Craigie. So, yes. And when Reg Carey was asked how old he was, what would he say?
I'm as old as God.
As old as God. And that would shut anybody up. Craig. So that's what you say if they ask you how old you are. I'm as old as God. And then look at their expression and see. So you don't have to say that. So our life is in God and is eternal. And we are on that eternal road of life that has not even a sense of death. It's joyous and wonderful. So dear Anne in England sent me a story from the Christian Science Wartime Activities, a testimony, I should say, which we will end with today.
Okay. And the testimony reads, while I was commanding officer of the first ship's company, California State Guard, and charged with protection of the water supply at its underwater crossing of San Francisco Bay, I was once engaged in bringing a small patrol boat from Sacramento to Dumbarton Point. I was accompanied by one of my petty officers and a civilian. We had been underway for about 8 hours with a moderately rough sea, and I had taken the wheel on the bridge deck of the boat. Suddenly, the petty officer came to the bridge and said, "Sir, something is wrong with the man below. I think he is gone." I ordered him to take the wheel, and I went below and found that the man had fallen out of his bunk and was lying on the deck. He was unconscious. His eyes were set. There was no sign of breathing. And there were other evidences of his having passed on. For a moment, I wondered whether I should put the boat about and proceed to the nearest pier to secure the aid of a doctor, as this man was not interested in Christian Science. Then the thought came to me, that there is only one physician, and he is omnipresent. The golden text in that week's lesson sermon was, quote, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," end quote. That's 2 Timothy verse 1. This kept recurring to me and enabled me to master the sense of confusion. I knelt beside him, declaring audibly, "God is your life," repeating it over and over, and asking if he could hear me. I also asked him to repeat after me, "God is my life." In a very few minutes, I saw him attempting to say something, perhaps trying to repeat the truths I was declaring. In about 20 minutes, he became conscious, and I was able to convey to him the truth about his spiritual heritage. Soon after this, he was able to sit up, and in another half hour, by the time we reached our destination, he walked ashore with very little help. The other man was amazed at his quick recovery and kept repeating, "I don't know how you did it." Of course, I knew that I had had no hand in the matter, as it was the normal operation of divine mind, which we all had witnessed. Afterward, I had the opportunity to present some of the facts of Christian Science to this man. He acknowledged that it was due to Christian Science that his healing had been accomplished. He also said that he had felt as if he were drifting off, but kept hearing me at a great distance, repeating, "God is your life." He said this seemed to be pulling him back, even as he was drifting further away. At the present time, I understand that this man is in the best of health and has suffered no ill effects from his experience.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.